God is good all the time, all the time. God is good, God is good.
The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, August 28, 2016, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
All the time, give thanks unto the Lord, His mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, His mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, His mercies endure forever. God is good, God is good all the time.
God is good,
God is good all the time, all the time. God is good, God is good all the time. All the time. Well, He's filled with compassion, and His mercies are everlasting. God is good, God is good all the time.
Good morning, church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, our Christ Jesus, this morning. For today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, thank you so much for your love, your grace, and your mercy that lets us come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Let us take this time, let it be holy before you, and may we truly worship you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the big round world in His hands. He's got the whole wide world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the wind and the rain in His hands. He's got the sun and the moon in His hands. He's got the wind and the rain in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the tiny little baby in His hands. He's got the helpless little baby in His hands. He's got the tiny little baby in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. He's got you and me, sister, in His hands. He's got you and me, brother, in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got everybody in His hands. He's got everybody in His hands. He's got everybody in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands.
Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 and then 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching Him closely. When He noticed how the guests chose places of honor, He told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The word of God for the people of God.
There's a couple things in here I need to let you look at. And if you will, go down with me to verse 12. If you have a Bible and it's yours, you can mark it up a little bit here, because the English translated from Greek here has a couple bumps in it that we need to go look at real quick as we get into this text this morning. And I clarify this just so that as you hear this, and I'll reread it for you, that you kind of get the essence of what's going on here. And Jesus says also to the one, talking to the Pharisee, the high-ranking Jewish official whose home he's in, and he said also to the one who had invited him, when you have a luncheon or dinner, we've moved from banquet to luncheon or dinner, a more informal kind of affair here. The banquet is that kind of the formal thing where it's by invitation. And you know what I'm talking about? You've been to banquets, go to weddings, wedding banquets, got the head table, the bride and groom in the middle, and all the distinguished and not maybe, you know, whoever's at those. And you know when you go to those, by the way, to wait until someone tells you where to sit or you find your name on the table, right? Because Jesus is right, it's awful embarrassing to have somebody come up and say, you know, you're in my seat. You know, just be careful. How do I know that? It sure is embarrassing. So verse 12, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not only, put only in there, because I don't think Jesus is going to say, do not invite your family. Do not invite your... Do you think he would say that, really? And in the Greek, this is what the meaning of this is. Do not invite only your relatives or rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, back to banquet again now, aren't we? Invite also the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. An eschatological statement there at the end, that in the future times, in the coming, you'll be repaid. Now, I want us to look at verse 1 real quick, because you need to notice a couple things. Jesus is invited, and Jesus never turned down an invitation, by the way. Anytime Jesus was invited, he went. Now, sometimes he got, you know, talked about for going and eating with people like Zacchaeus. You remember him? Matthew, the tax collector, and those publicans. They even accused Jesus of being a wine bibber. Do you know what a wine bibber is? Like the tipped cup, you know? I mean, his first miracle, church, was turning water into wine at a wedding banquet. He was called to be a party-hardy guy. I mean, this guy was going, look where he was at. And he was hanging out with some rough people, and his mama and his brothers went to get him. Do you remember this story? And they can't get in. They say, you know, they go tell Jesus, said, your mom's outside. He said, who's my mama? Kind of a rebel, wasn't he, you know? Really? So Jesus never rejected an invitation. And I need you to see something that's going on. I left out the healing of the person with dropsy or heart, you know, stop part of the lectionary for today. So, but look at this verse 1 here. On one occasion, this is just one of them. There were more. On one occasion, when Jesus is going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath day, comma. He was just, you know, it's a Sabbath day, going to go hang out, have Sunday lunch, you know. back east. A lot of people wanted the pastor to come over on Sunday for lunch. And you dared not refuse those invitations. It's just bad, bad, bad business. Bad customer relations, if you will. You know, it just wasn't good PR. So you went. And I felt like Jesus in this verse. They were watching him closely. They were watching him closely. Church, I need to tell you this morning, like it or not, somebody's watching you. Like it or not, they're checking you out. And I bet you watch people too, don't you? How many of you like to go to an airport and just check them out? You know, Walmart. Sit on one of the benches down front and watch them. That's the only thing I like about going to Walmart, I have to be honest. Don't go late at night. You might be really embarrassed by a lot of the stuff you see. Oh, it's just, do we have Waffle Houses out here? No? IHOP, no. When you go back, you'll find Waffle Houses or Huddle Houses at every exit back east. And at 3 in the morning, that's when you drop in because it's colorful. Every beer joint has closed, and they've all come to the Waffle House for breakfast. And it is absolutely the funniest thing. You should see them just trying to get in the place. I mean, they'll pull the door, thump, and it hits them in the head. They go, "Oh, something's wrong with the door." You know, thump, you see that? And somebody usually go help and get them. It's just funny how they got there. And you see them drive off. And you think, where is the police? Well, they're busy because that bar let out 500. They went but two police in town. So, you know, they can't get there. But it's somebody's always watching you, aren't they? I've told this story. I tell you a little bit, the quicker version. I was a police officer for a while, and I had this young man, and he was known to carry a knife. And I don't know if any of you know what a yellow handle case knife is. Got about a 4 1/4 inch blade. And he had cut several people, cut them up really bad. And we had passed this ordinance, and you couldn't launder out on the street. It was 2:30 in the morning. I'd been to take somebody to jail, and I come back to town, and there sat Billy Ray Hensley. I've spooled the window down when I come by. I said, "Billy Ray, I'm going to go up here and turn around. You know you need to be gone when I get back." So I went up street, turned around, come back. There sat Billy Ray. He's had time to get ready, you know. I look around. There is nobody. I've got all the lights on blinkers, you know. Nobody. Except Rick Warren, who's working at the depot. That's it. There's not even a convenience store open. So I go open the passenger side rear door of the police car, and I go tell Billy, "Billy, you know you're going to have to go to jail." Colorful metaphors are exchanged. And Billy pulls that yellow handle case and makes him a swipe up toward me. Well, that was all right. I hit him with a 5-cell Kel Light. Do you know what that hurts like? 40 stitches right above his ear right there. Man, I tried to kill him. He just wouldn't die. You know, you can't kill a drunk, and he was on everything else too. And so he made another swipe at me, and I hit him in the top of the head. That got his attention, and he dropped the knife. I pulled a P-jack. He had an old military. Pulled that up and just pitched him in the back seat of the police car down to his knees and handcuffed. Finished it. He got blood all over my car. You know, it's a mess. And I, lo and behold, I get all that over with, and I shut the door on Billy Ray, and there's a man hanging out the upstairs window about this far. He said, "I saw it all. He pulled a knife on you." Folks, somebody's watching. Don't you think for 1 minute. How many of you traveled and run into somebody you knew or somebody that was from around where you were? It's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing that you run into people that know where you're from. So always remember some. Well, they were watching Jesus, but the thing I want you to notice is Jesus was watching them too. You see, it was a two-way street. You see, if they can see you, you can see them. And Jesus was watching these Pharisees. And he notices when they get ready to sit down, they all just kind of sort of start jockeying for the best seats. And he tells them this parable, this story. And he talks about when you go to a wedding banquet, don't go rushing in like you just did. Don't go jockeying for position. Take the low seat and sit there, and you got a seat anyway. And if they come and say, move up, you're good shape, you're good to go. Find a chair that ain't at a table, maybe. It's over on the wall. Be a wallflower for a little while. Somebody will notice. And then he moves into the second part of that, and he says unto them, don't just invite the rich and famous. But this lesson this morning is really about humility. Because in the verse 11, it's, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And Christ lived that out, didn't he? He lived that very thing out. We sang about washing feet. For just a moment, can you imagine what it was like to have Jesus wash his disciples' feet? Can you imagine? And then he would say to them, don't just invite the ones that can pay you back. You know, church on Sunday morning is the most segregated time in our society and culture today. Birds of a feather flock together. And I entitled this sermon this morning, who do you invite to church? But that's the wrong question, isn't it? Here's a better one. Do you even invite anyone? Or maybe better than that, who did you ask to go to church with you this week? It's kind of easy to say, hey, why don't you come down to Rock Springs Methodist Church? But what, a little different when you say, hey, why don't you come and go with me? Now, warning Will Robinson, if you invite somebody to church, be sure you come. It's really bad news. I have people come in and say, so-and-so invited me. Where are they? I haven't seen them. Don't see them. Well, they invited me. So if you invite people, maybe that's why we don't. We're not going. It isn't maybe who, but do we? You see, church, this is worship. Church happens here and out there. Church happens around your dinner table and at your banquets and dinners. It happens as you interact with the world around you, for they are watching you, and I bet you're watching them. Instead of watching, which really kind of sort of says judging, how about instead of watching, we're together? Why don't we not just tell people to come, but why don't we say, come with me? You see, I believe that's what Jesus would have done. Oh, wait a minute. I think he did say, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. Follow my example. follow me. He didn't just say go. He went. It wasn't just do what I say, was it? As he washed his disciples' feet. This I have done unto you, do this also to one another. Even as I have loved you, love one another. Even as you have been forgiven, forgive one another. Now, church, make no mistake about it. There's right and wrong in the world. There's good and bad. There's heaven and hell. Ooh, I said that word in church. And you know what I say. There's always how many? Two choices. No more, no less, but always two. Jesus healed a lot of people, and he would always say to them, your sins are forgiven. But he would add one more thing to that. Do you remember? Go and sin no more. Turn it around. For the wages of sin are what? Death. He's telling these Pharisees, extend it. Reach out. Invite all. Let them all come. For folks, there's no more important message than the message of Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I told you, it'll solve all the world's problems. It's right there in that book. If you love somebody, you're not going to shoot at them or blow them up or see them starve or homeless. He said, include them all. So the question isn't who. That shouldn't even be a concern. The question should be, do we? And I'm not talking about inviting them just to the building, but I'm talking about inviting them to our fellowship, to our family, to our community, to sit with us, not among us. There's a difference. To let them share our space, our joys, our concerns, and we share those with them. So it isn't who, but do we? Something to think about. For you and I, we're all invited to his table out of love and grace. Amen.
It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up to its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread his love to everyone. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. You can depend on
notice the light of Christ that should be in us. As these lights now go, so shall we go. To share the good news, to pass it on. For we are the body of Christ, his hands and his feet. To share with the world the good news. He has empowered us by the Holy Spirit to live in grace, love, and mercy, and to share that with those that we meet. Now may the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding truly go with you, bless you, and keep you. May you be encouraged to live it among the world around you as they watch, as they look. May they see Christ in us. And truly, may the peace of Christ go with you and bless you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
The preceding was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like copies of this message for friends or family, you may contact us at area code 307-362-5334. Our email address is rsfumc@hotmail.com. Visit our website at www.rsumc.org. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 8290. You are cordially invited to join us in worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings.